I'd like to call the Transportation Policy, excuse me, Transportation Finance and Policy Division meeting to order. And just as a friendly reminder, they asked me to make sure that you all turn off your phone so that we are not getting feedback in the microphones. If I could have someone move the minutes that's had an opportunity, Representative Scott.
I'll move the minutes from April 7th.
All right. It's been properly moved. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Those who oppose say nay. Motion carries. Representative Leader. Good afternoon. I'm hoping that we could start with House File Number 1309. Is that okay?
Could we move the other one out first, Mr. Chair? House 994 first, that should be a short one.
Mr. Chair, we are waiting for the fiscal note for House File Number 994, so I thought we would probably get going with House File Number 1309. Is that okay, Cheerleader?
Okay, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move House File 1309, Mr. Chair.
Okay. It's been moved. Are there any amendments, Mr. Chair?
And then, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move to delete all amendments for House File 1309.
Okay. And would that be, hold on one second. Would you like to move the amendment, which is 0396?
Could I explain the bill first, Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Mr. Chair and members, House File 1309 is the finance bill for the Department of Transportation. We had several problems. We had a target to meet, and we made the adjustments in the target, as I'll go through, and we also had some concerns for funding. There's no new funds in it, basically, in the bill, and no provision for new funding, but we made some shifts and adjusted some funds, and I'll explain that as we go through the bill, Mr. Chair. The problem was there's a real problem with metro and rural transit to be able to fund it, and we were able to accomplish that through working with the Tax Committee and leadership, and I think we've done that. So if I could explain the bill, I'll go through it. And
Could I get you, Cheerleader, to, if we could move on the amendment so that it's in the shape that you would like for it to be in, and then you can explain it? Because it's my understanding that it's a delete off.
Okay. See, we could move amendment H1309A6.
1309? No. No, it looks like, Cheerleader, A090396.
Right.
It's a delete off amendment. Do you see?
It's a delete all amendment to the bill, right?
Yes. So, it's been properly it's been properly put forward to us. All those in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you for obliging committee. Let me just explain that there's a couple amendments that are going to be put forward, and I've been advised that it's probably best for us to allow the Cheerleader to go through the delete off, which would be the A090396, and then as we make changes, then we will at the end adopt, if this body so if this body finds necessary, the amendment. Okay, we will adopt it at the end. So I just thought I would explain that. So now, Cheerleader, it's fine for you to go through the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and members, House File 1309, because it's the lead-on amendment, deals with transportation issues and what it does. I don't know if I'm following quite with the sections, but I'll go through an overview that I have. It funds, first we made a we had to go through to establish our target. We had to make some cuts, and we actually made these cuts before we made the adjustments in funding. We cut Greater Minnesota Transit $760,000 per year, Metro Transit $3.2 million per year, and Public Safety Support $133,000, and Capital Security $126,000 per year. Now, that was to accomplish our target. And after we did that, we also made the adjustments and shifts to fund all the items in the bill. We increased, so we put $500,000 increase from the general fund for the commuter and passenger rail. Right now, the department, MnDOT, just doesn't have the authority to spend trunk highway monies for passenger rail or commuter rail. This will authorize the expenditure $500,000 for that particular purpose. We took $250,000 from Greater Minnesota Transit and $250,000 from Metro Transit, and that was general fund money. So that funded that portion. Then we also had a decrease in revenue due to the supplemental budget from the governor, that there was a $150 million decrease in trunk highway revenue, and that was taken as in our bill as follows. $100 million we took out of the construction fund. We took a $50 million decrease for the biennium out of, we split it from the state road operations and maintenance. We took $21.7 million, the state road infrastructure investment support, $17.1 million, and from the MnDOT department support, $3.7 million, and from MnDOT buildings, $1.5 million, and from the state patrol, $6 million. And that gave us $50 million. Plus the $100 million that we took from state or the construction, that equals $150 million. That was the decrease in revenue. There's also a $2.5 million ongoing cut from MnDOT department support, and we took that out of it. We took that cut. That's an ongoing cut. We increased the appropriation for state road construction based on the federal fund receipts, and the increase will be $43.5 million in fiscal 2010 and $130.9 million in 2011. We decreased the 2009 appropriation for state road construction by $44 million based on a reduction in federal aid agreements. And that's less the advanced construction. We had some advanced construction money. The other items, we took $2.25 million increase for the airport development grants for fiscal year 2010 from the state airports fund. This is not additional revenue, but it actually spends down the state airports fund balance, and it also includes the language that allows for spending down the state airports fund balance, and that's what we did. So it's not any new money, but it authorizes that expenditure. We took $7.56 million from the cash flow for the shift to Minnesota Transit, Rural Transit, Greater Minnesota Transit. And that changes the appropriation for Greater Minnesota Transit by $7.56 million in fiscal year 2009 and decreases the 2011 appropriation by the same amount. And if you remember, they testified last Thursday, the Rural Transit, there were 22 operators that testified there was not enough money in the state cash, in their cash flow account, that the state couldn't pay them this fiscal year. So what we made is a shift from the 2009 to 2011 year, and that's the way they could get paid. And there's really no way that we could do it any other way because we didn't have any general fund money. We also took a $3.4 million shift in their research services, which falls within the budget. This funding was moved from the state construction, road construction appropriation to the infrastructure investment support area, and the department felt that was a better place that it would be rather than in the construction account. We decreased the municipal state aid appropriation by approximately $700,000 per year to account for the change. If you remember, we changed the municipal administration account from 1.5% to 2%, and that accounts for that $700,000. We included the language regarding the Transportation Contingent Appropriations Group, that's what they call TCAG, to further clarify the process and to tie the process for further for the stimulus money. And that is the rider in the bill, which provides basically the same function that we had in handling the 35W extra appropriations, which came about when the legislature was not in session, and that group then would need as part of the Legislative Advisory Commission and the fiscal chairs of the two transportation, Senate and House, plus the minority lead. And that group would meet as they did on the 35W in case there's any additional money coming for it from the stimulus or anything else happens for us when the legislature is not in session. This rider sets up the same policies we had before with a little bit of clarification, basically, of who's the committee chairs should rotate and do those things. So it's basically the same language as we had before. We also provided for MnDOT to pursue the passenger rail function, which is report, which is really represent Hornstein's House File 1918 bill, and that was pretty much to take care of the high-speed rail. And there's also another rider in the bill which provided for, was Representative Rutabina's bill, which provided for an increase in the speed limit when you're passing a vehicle. And I think you're all familiar with that one. And we also changed the deductions for the motor vehicle lease sales tax. That's where we arrived at the money to fund transit, both metro and rural. We split it to 65% metro transit, 25% to greater Minnesota, and 10% to metro roads. Right now it's split 50-50, and that was the motor vehicle lease sales tax. We allow the Metro Council to use $1 million from the Metropolitan Livable Communities, and we also took $3 million out of their right-of-way acquisition fund, which is what we call our roll fund, and Metro Council had agreed on that. And that basically is a quick summary of the bill, Mr. Chair, and if we could, unless your questions, we can move on to the amendments.
Representative Magnus?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chairman Leader, you started out indicating we were going to be $150 million short to the trunk fund from lower collections. And as a result of the changes made in the bill, what would be this level then? If we, because I understand there's changes to the bill, and what would be the level then of funding as a result of those changes?
Chair Leader?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and Representative Magnus, we actually, the MnDOT revenue came down $150 million.
Yeah.
To accommodate that, we took $100 million authorization out of the construction account and split that other $50 million, as I pointed out, between those other four accounts, the operation and maintenance and some of the technical accounts. So that accommodated that decrease in revenue.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think so. Yep.
Representative Veer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Leader, or Chair Leader, that number that we're looking at for that the new construction was going to be short was actually, if I'm not mistaken, is actually still an increase over the 08-09 construction budget, isn't it? Doesn't it reflect some new money, just not as much as we'd anticipated?
Chair Leader.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Representative Veer, that's correct. It was just a decrease in the estimated revenue that they're going to get in, but there's still an increase as far as the total budget goes. That's right.
Mr. Chair, Representative Leader, I'd be interested in knowing what that number is. You may not have it at your fingertips, but I think MnDOT's here. They might have a rough idea what that number is.
Chair Leader?
I think, Mr. Chair and Representative Leader, I think I do have it. I may ask the fiscal chair. She probably got her finger on it quicker than I have. Oh. Or maybe we don't have it. I thought we did.
Mr. Chair and Representative Beard, are you looking for the increase due to Chapter 152 or the increase that's included in the bill?
Representative Beard?
Well, what I was interested in is what was the new construction budget for 08-09 and where are we proposing it to be? If this is adopted, where would we be for 10 and 11?
Ms. Leewood?
No, I'm not talking about the stimulus money. I recognize that's a separate package, but where would we be in this one? Is that a number that's easily available to us?
Ms. Ewing?
Mr. Chair and Representative Beard, the base budget, which is based off of the 08-09 biennium for 10 and 11, was $1.1 million. And the change items for the state road construction areas for the biennium totaled in the House File 1309 amendment $67.6 million. So the difference is that $67.6 million increase.
Mm-hmm.
So with the 1309 amendment, it would be about $1.2 billion.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, members.
Any other questions? Seeing no further questions, Chair Leader, would you like to move any of your amendments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move the A6 amendment. Or 1309
A6. I'm sorry, Chair Leader, which one? Which amendment would you like to move?
1309 A6. That's the only amendment I have under my name.
All right. We're looking at...
We did move that amendment, I think, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Okay. What this really does is explain, it's a technical amendment, which explains how we shifted some of the monies from the livable communities and also how we arrived at it from the lease sales tax. And I don't know if I can explain it much further, but basically it's a technical amendment that does, and maybe Mr. Burris has some reason to explain it further.
Mr. Burris?
Mr. Chair, members, this amendment contains a couple of fix-up provisions. One of the items is revising the language on the motor vehicle lease sales tax revenue. This bill is designed to work in conjunction with the tax bill, and some of the removal of language is happening on the tax bill side rather than on the transportation side. So in the amendments, the percentage allocation of funds for transportation from motor vehicle lease sales tax revenue is being modified, but the rest of the provision isn't being changed in the transportation bill. There are also a couple of clarifications on use of terms for a new metropolitan routes of regional significance account, removing some language on federal stimulus appropriation authority for MnDOT so that the funds are available until expended. There's also some clarification on the transfers for the Metropolitan Council so that it's clear that the total amounts of the transfer are $3 million from the Livable Communities Fund account and, $1 million from the Livable Communities account fund account and $3 million from the Ralph Fund. And there's also a cleanup on the appropriation for Greater Minnesota Transit that should be from the general fund.
Okay. Any other questions on this amendment? Then I'm going to clarify something. Yes, Representative Morgan.
Mr. Chair, and I guess this is more of a parliamentary inquiry. It seems like we halfway adopted the delete everything amendment, and these are amending that, and I just want to make sure that we do everything in the right order here. So,
thank you for that inquiry. I was going to adopt the A090396 at the delete all. And then I was advised that I should wait and that we should take care of the other amendments. But I think I'm going to do it the way that you have so eloquently stated that it should be done. So, all those in favor of adopting,
sure.
Because he did amend motion.
Yeah, one question.
Representative Stevenson.
And Chair Leader, when we're taking it from 65% Metropolitan Transit account and then 25% the Greater Minnesota account reduction of 25%. Are the numbers staying relatively the same for the revenues that are received in outstate Minnesota for transit? I guess is my question.
Chair Leader?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and Representative Seaver, we actually increased the numbers for rural transit with the transfer, both for rural and metro both.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any more questions? Representative Dimmer. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Leader, you just said we're increasing it to Greater Minnesota Transit. This amendment, Representative Leader, it goes from 50% to Greater Minnesota Transit to 25%. Are you saying it's a bigger number so that the dollars are the same?
Chair Leader? Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Demmer, the old statute was 50-50. 50% Metro and the 50% were 25 to highway and 25 to rural transit, rather than 50 as you indicated. And now it will be 65-35 and then 10.
Well, Mr. Chair and Representative Leader, so in other words, instead of from the motor vehicle lease sales tax revenue, which I think we just did this last year, if I'm not mistaken, we went from 50% going to Metropolitan Transit, 50% going to Greater Minnesota Transit and 50% to the County Stated Highway Fund. We're now taking and putting 65% of the motor vehicle lease sales tax revenue into the Metropolitan Area Transit account and 10% to the Metropolitan Route to Regional Certificates. In other words, 75% now is going to Metropolitan Transit of some sort, and 25% to Greater Minnesota Transit. Am I reading that correctly? That's what it says.
Chair Leader? Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Demmer, I believe you have, it was originally 50-50, and the 150 was split between rural transit and highways, rather than, as you indicated, I think. And now it's 65-35-10.
Well, Mr.
Wait a minute, 65-35-10.
25%.
That's too much. That's 110%.
Representative Leader, Chair, my change goes from 50% to Greater Minnesota Transit to 25% to Greater Minnesota Transit.
Chair Leader?
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. I know. Representative Mao. More.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chair Leader, as part of this discussion, though, if we hadn't made any amendment, Greater Minnesota Transit would not have received any money currently. But right now, under this amendment and with the bill as a whole, I believe now Greater Minnesota Transit is receiving 25% of an actual sum.
Chair Leader? Mr. Chair, thank you. Representative, more or less correct. Actually, the split goes for Representative Demmer. Right now, Minnesota Transit or Rural Transit wouldn't have got any money because that sales tax, the lease sales tax wouldn't have been there available. Right now, the Metro Council gets $37 million, Greater Minnesota Transit gets $14 million, and the Metro Roads of Regional Significance gets $6 million. And actually, it varies a little bit, and that's for 2010-2011. So if this wouldn't have happened, there wouldn't be any money for rural transit, basically, if we wouldn't have made the shift or the change.
Follow, Mr. Mao.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Chair Leader, as I understand it, if we hadn't done anything, Greater Minnesota Transit would have received zero. With this amendment, Greater Minnesota Transit will receive $14 million in the next biennium.
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Thank you.
If I might, can I make sure that we have all the adoptions correct? Chair Leader, you earlier moved for us to adopt the delete all, which is A090396. And we did a partial, and so I'm going to go back so we can do it fully. All those in favor of the of adopting the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
All those who oppose, say nay. Amendment adopted. Now, also, Chair Leader made a motion for us to adopt H1309A6. Was that the right amendment? A6? Was that the correct one, Chair Leader?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I see where the confusion is. I didn't realize they both had a 6 in the end. And the A6 amendment is what Mr. Burris explained to the members.
All right. So now, all those in favor of adopting the A6 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say nay.
No.
The amendment is adopted. Now that it's in the shape that the author would like for it to be, are there any other amendments or any other discussion? Representative Hornstein.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the H1309A1 amendment.
Would you like to explain the amendment?
Sure. Members, you may have noticed that my original bill, House File 898, which was a very comprehensive bill related to land use and transportation issues. We've scaled that back significantly. We're not hearing that bill in its entirety, but just really some very small parts of it to move this year. And one important part of that bill, whose goal is to work with local communities so that they can include greenhouse gas reduction goals in their local comprehensive plans. One of the concerns we heard through the process, and it did pass all the policy committees, was that there needed to be resources for these local communities to engage in this kind of planning. And one way to do that would be to have the U of M Center for Transportation Studies develop a guide and resources for these local communities to engage in this planning. I don't think they objected to having these kinds of goals in their local plans, but there were certainly some resource and capacity issues. And so this simply addresses that by transferring a relatively modest amount from the Met Council's Livable Communities Fund and allocating that to the Center for Transportation Studies to conduct this research and develop this guide. And again, the CTS has been used by the legislature on a number of occasions to do this kind of technical assistance, and I think it's appropriate, and we would ask for your support.
Representative Magnus.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Hornstein, how much does that leave in the account in the livable communities?
We've taken $1 million out.
Representative Hornstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And President Beard, my understanding is that it's approximately $21 million. I know Mr. Shetman is here, so he might be able to correct my math. But we're taking $1 million out for the purposes of the transit funding gap, which we just addressed in the main House file. And so that would leave most of it intact, something around $19.5 million around. So, and members, I think just to Representative Magnus's question, this is I was involved in the development of the original Livable Communities legislation in 1995 as an advocate, not as a legislator, and I think this is wholly within the scope and the mission of that program. It relates to planning communities in a way that encourages development patterns that are more transit and pedestrian friendly, involves denser development and a number of different goals that are done on a voluntary basis, and we have communities applying for these monies and then utilizing them as they see fit in specific kinds of projects. So this is, I think, very well within the mission of that program.
Any other questions on the amendment? Representative Beard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hornstein, I saw that was pulled off the agenda today. I got to tell you, I felt just a little sorrow because I don't serve on any committees that have heard this bill yet. You know how much I was looking forward to the debate. It would have been extensive, raucous, and entertaining, I'm sure. But here we are with this little amendment, and I've got just a couple questions, if I may, Mr. Chair.
You may.
You talk about, there's two words, must, and then may be interested, I guess, on line 1.16, the CTS must collaborate with Met Council and other local units of government who may be interested, or interested, I'm implying the word maybe, that it appears that the wiggle room here on line 1.17 is there may be local units of government who are not interested in the refinement or development of this process. Does that mean what does that mean, I guess? That's my first question.
Thank you very much. Mr. Chair, President Beard, this is an important point, and I'm glad you brought it up. This is language that is there to indicate that this kind of manual, this kind of how-to guide, as it were, is not developed in isolation, that this isn't an academic piece of work, that this is really something that is going to be done in collaboration with the Met Council and in the stakeholders that would be benefiting in using this. And so the language is really meant to say this is going to be a collaborative process, that the stakeholders are going to be engaged from the start. This isn't just going to be an ivory tower kind of study. It's going to be one that the people that are most impacted by its policies will have a role in developing. So it's not meant as a mandate that every community has to use this guide, but it's going to be available, and this is going to be evolving over the next couple of years, the actual policies. And I think that, you know, for me, as the author, I would really insist on a collaborative spirit, that we're not really using the long arm of the Metropolitan Council or the legislature to dictate to local communities how they're going to utilize this and how they're going to meet the goals of this policy.
Representative Beer, follow-up?
Yeah, I think what I hear you saying is it is voluntary for local communities who may or may not want to participate, maybe not so much so for the Met Council. You think Council would decline to participate?
Representative Hornstein.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Beard, the Met Council is the agency that reviews the local plan.
Mm-hmm.
So we envision this is actually part of the local planning process, and the Met Council would have to review those plans, and therefore, you know, it's not voluntary for them. This is going to be part of what they would eventually have to approve of in terms of reviewing the local comprehensive plans, which is part of their mission.
Representative Beard?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There's a series of questions involved in this, and again, I'm really sorry that
yeah.
you pulled the bill. But on line 1.15, you talk about CTS must use and identify and use existing information and models to the extent that they are useful and accurate. This is where I would really love to have gotten into it. Are you talking about climate models, the 21 climate models that are out there? Or what models and what useful models are you talking about that may possibly be accurate?
Well, Representative Hornstein.
I think, again, Mr. Chair and Representative Beard, look, there is scientific discussion about this issue. You and I mm-hmm. would readily acknowledge that and may even disagree, but I think there is... There are models that we have looked at, studies that have been done, including by the Governor's own climate study group that have been used, and these are the models that have indicated you could have substantial reduction in greenhouse gas emissions through various land use planning models. And so that's I think, where that language comes from, that we want to make sure that this is based on, you know, the good science, the good data that we have available. This is an emerging field. There has been some study done. The studies that that we've looked at indicate that one can get substantial reduction through a comprehensive land use climate change policy. So that's why that language is in there.
Mr. Chairman, just a couple more comments, then I'm going to leave this alone. I imagine the amendment's going to pass. But first, an observation on line 1.12, the reduction of per capita miles driven. You know, as our society has evolved into a complex society, members, over the years, one of the things that's given us, I think, the quality of life and makes life really interesting is the fact that we're very mobile, a very mobile society. Instead of having to be trapped on the farm and get all excited when the stagecoach comes by or a neighbor comes over the horizon, we can actually go places and do things. We can live interesting lives and work all over the place and sell our goods in Waterloo, Iowa, if we want to, for goodness sake. Because we're a mobile society. But I want you to notice that one of the goals and objectives of this is to reduce the per capita vehicle miles driven. Now, Representative Hornstein, I'm going to agree with you in this regard. Where I grew up in a small town, we could walk all over town. I kind of liked that. I kind of miss that here in Minnesota, where we have flat land, and I don't think we use our flat land as well as we could, because we build really big neighborhoods with really big streets and lots, and we hate sidewalks for some reason where I live. And you can't walk anywhere except to the neighbor's house, which is a half a mile away. So I think for different reasons, we may be after the same thing. It's kind of nice if we didn't have to drive to the store. We could actually walk there. However, I don't know that that's exactly at the end what we're after when we're talking about reducing per capita vehicle miles. Members, I guess what I'm saying is I tend not to trust anything that looks like command and control, and this looks like central government planning that's going to tell my neighbors how much they can and can't drive or put policies into place that would enforce those kind of things. And I thought about that this morning on the way up 35W, looking at that stupid Diamond Lane again. When we need it the most, we took it out of play just so we can send a message to people who drive their cars by themselves. That just strikes me as a big government response to a problem that we needed, which was more capacity, more mobility, I'd like to say this is going to pass. I'm really glad you put a December 15, 2010 date on there, because that's another year and a half away, members. And as the science is evolving on whether or not getting warm is actually going to be tragic for the human race, or whether actually we could actually welcome that, if indeed it's happening, and that the science is actually saying right now, well, we're not so sure that it's getting warm in the near term. We may have 20 or 30 years of things getting colder, and we're going to have a lot of natural gas to stay warm. And, oh, by the way, I'd rather drive on warm roads than cold roads any day of the week, if somehow the government will still let me do that. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll abate my remarks. Mr. Chair, Representative Hornstein, I would hopefully bring that bill back after deadlines, and we can actually have a long and involved discussion about it. I think it would be good for all of us to do that.
Mr. Chair?
I just want to very quickly respond, because I think Representative Beard had a couple questions, so I wanted to just very quickly respond. One, I think that, you know, I think your example of sidewalks is a very good one, actually. And, you know, this is what this is actually what this is meant to do, is to assist communities. Well, how do we incorporate that in our planning process? And obviously, when you have sidewalks, you're walking, or you have an additional choice that you don't have in some communities. And so I think that's a very, very good example. The second example is one that I think has passed through all the committees and is now in the education omnibus bill, and that relates to the simple issue of siting schools. And we have you know, a situation in many communities where schools are being sited, and this is because of a not a mandate, but a kind of an implied rule that the Department of Education has that relates to minimum acreage standards for schools. So we're set, instead of using existing buildings in town, we are siting schools out in the hinterlands, which is causing a lot more vehicle miles driven, expenses for school buses, etc. And so that's the kind of reform that we think can happen. It can happen, I think, in a way that is collaborative with communities and I think addresses some of your concerns.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And another point of agreement. I never did understand the 100 acres per high school rule. Again, members, we live in flat land where we use it, I think, unwisely and burn it up. You ought to grow up where the hillsides are all like this, and there is no flat land. And, you know, you can't kick the football off the field because it'll roll into the valley. Those kind of things. So I'm glad to see that that's happening in this discussion. Again, we may have different motives for doing it, but some of this stuff I think is good for us to talk about.
I think there's more points of agreement.
Representative Hornstein?
Thank you.
Representative Severson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Hornstein, I'd like to kind of jump on to one of the things that Representative Beard talked about in line 1.14. So the Center for Transportation Studies must identify and use existing information and miles to the extent that they are useful and accurate. Who is determining what is an accurate model in that particular thing?
Well, Representative Hornstein?
Sure, I think that's why we would have the expertise of the university engaged in that. And, again, you have all kinds of studies and scientists and perspectives represented in the university, and I think that's why it's an appropriate place to do this kind of modeling.
And Representative Hornstein, it just brings me back to a bill we had on the House floor a couple of years ago where you said the science is finished. It's proven, you know, there's no more debate on the issue. Representative Hornstein, we never had that debate on the whole greenhouse gases issue. And that's one of the things I think Representative Beard is bringing to the table here is, if we're really going to start generating policy that's going to drive how we do government based on some studies, let's make sure that the studies that we're addressing are accurate studies. And I think those are some of the debates that we need to have and that will be had on the House floor, hopefully this session as we go through this process. But my hopes are that when we're talking about accurate models, that we're not talking about an IPCC you know, determination, but we're talking about one that has been vetted through the entire process. And mm-hmm. I don't sit on environment or on the Energy Policy Committee, but I think that's a debate that each one of us as legislators have a responsibility to do the research and determine what is really going to drive our economy. Is it going to be some concept, or are they going to be accurate models? And I'll get out my soapbox at this point, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Holbert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Hornstein, how did you come up with the figure of $500,000? Do you have a fiscal note? Are we paying so many salaries for this period of time? Or I mean, I'm just wondering, and you and I did a pretty good job of doing a very frugal study that has resulted in lots of good things for less than 10% of what you're asking here, and it looks like you're going to regurgitate existing studies, do some kind of modeling, and I don't know how you spend $500,000 doing that.
Representative Hornstein?
Thank you very much, Mr. Rosenberg. I actually thought about that because I think that I think correctly at the time indicated that one can do studies for less money. I think this is the study that you're referencing had to do with bus rapid transit on one corridor on I-35W. This is really a far more extensive examination of very specific ways that a variety of different communities in the metro area, and members, I want to emphasize this is really relating very exclusively to the area under the Metropolitan Council jurisdiction. But even within that jurisdiction, you have townships, you have the largest city in the state, you have suburbs, big and small, and I think that there's no really cookie cutter model that will apply to a lot of these situations. And so I think that this is actually, I think, a relatively modest amount for what I think we envision. And again, the university will employ staff, and they will be held accountable, I think, through the legislature and the Metropolitan Council in terms of getting the study done on time, on budget, and with the appropriate results for the goals we want.
But Representative Hobart?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hornstein, do you have a budget? Do we know what we're getting for $500,000?
Well,
yeah, I guess I could bring up, I don't know if we have people from, I know that there was possibly going to be someone from the Center for Transportation Studies here. I don't know if they are or not. If not, I know we have some people that have been in direct contact with them. I don't know if Mr. Bailey is in the room. We could quickly, I don't want to speculate, Mr. Chairman, Representative Holberg, not having been engaged in those discussions, so I would prefer to have Mr. Bailey respond to that.
Mr. Chair, I guess maybe you haven't seen a budget. How did you come up with half a million dollars?
I personally have not, but I would ask Mr. Bailey and maybe Mr. Tuma to would be in a better position to respond to that.
Welcome to the committee, and please tell us your name and who you represent.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is John Bailey. I'm with 1,000 Friends in Minnesota. Mr. Chair, Representative Holberg, we have not seen a budget. This was done through consultation with the center and based on the other kind of technical assistance models that they've developed. Because it's more than just kind of doing a study. It's also about a way to actually actively collaborate with communities. So you're not just sending a CD-ROM and a report that's saying this is a way we can actually work with you all to achieve the goals of the study. So it's more than just kind of a paper report.
Representative Holbert?
Mr. Chair, maybe I'm sure, as some others have said, that this amendment, I'm going to go on this bill, but I think it's only fair to the legislature that we see some kind of budget and phasing of expenditures. It may be that you can break this down into a two-year appropriation, I think that in order for there to be some accountability, you have to know up front what you're buying with the money to know whether or not if you've got what you purchased in the first place. And then my next question is for Representative Nelson. I had the pleasure of going to his committee on a livable communities policy issue, and I'm just wondering if Chair Nelson will be requesting the honor of the bill come to his committee for review of the expenditure of the livable communities money.
Representative Nelson?
I don't know. I have to look at it.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Representative Holbert?
I'm just, thinking of the fairness issue here, and I had a bill that's still sitting in his committee. Part of the language, I think, is actually in the delete all amendment that your leader now has. The letter that we received a copy of at the beginning of the session, the speaker talked about proper procedures and jurisdictions of various committees and how bills would progress through the legislature. So I'm sorry that Chair Nelson has to think about it. I don't understand why one bill that spends liberal communities has to go to a committee, why another won't.
Representative,
Mr. Chair, I think I can allay Representative Holbrook's concerns. This bill, not this exact language, but something very similar, did pass Representative Nelson's committee, and then it went on to, you know, the Government Operations Committee, where it was then moved out on from there to the Education Committee. So we actually went with that entire bill that Representative Beard, you will have a chance to just have at me on that at some point. But that entire larger bill did pass through all of the appropriate policy committees as per House procedure. Again, with language very similar to this, we had a report in there. I think we had the livable communities language in there. What I don't recall specifically, and maybe Mr. Bailey could fill in the blank here, I think we may have had a blank amount, or maybe we had the $500,000. I don't recall that specifically. But this has really been vetted by the local government committee. We had the hearing. It was a lively hearing. And I'm sorry, because you're on that committee, Representative Beard, and I don't think you were there that night, and Representative Biskins wasn't there. And, I mean, I was looking forward to that, but we'll probably have another chance on that.
So. Mr. Any more discussion? Mr. Bailey?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Hornstein, just to confirm, this was the same language that was in the bill that passed out of the local government committee with the same appropriations as well.
And Mr. Chair, just to be clear, it took money from livable communities to fund it?
Mr. Chair, Representative Holberg, yes.
All right.
Mr. Chair. Representative Nelson.
And Representative Holberg, it wasn't that I wasn't debating whether this should go back there or not, it's just that I didn't catch your whole question. That's why I wasn't sure. So, and I know the bill that we carried in our committee, the local government committee, having to do with taking money from the liberal communities, we laid it over at the time. We didn't pass it out, but we laid it over for a possible future having used it, but we did give it a full hearing that night.
Well, Mr. Chair, it did get laid over. It didn't get out of your committee. So it didn't get to transportation finance, so this committee never had an opportunity to hear the bill. So now part of it shows up in this bill, but this committee never had the opportunity to have the testimony on it. So I think that's important to note as well.
Representative Hornstein, any questions?
No, I mean, Mr. Chair, I mean, we had a hearing in local government, it passed. It went to GovOps, just got moved out of there. So, I mean, I think the process for the larger bill as well as this language was appropriate.
Representative Hornstein, do you want to renew your motion for us to adopt this amendment?
Yeah, I move again that we incorporate the A1 amendment into House File 1309.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay.
No.
The adoption of the amendment is adopted. It's my understanding that we have one more amendment. Representative Newton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to present the A3 amendment.
Would you be so kind as to explain the amendment, Representative Newton?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, due to the passionate plea of Representative Holberg when I presented House File 1356 at the last committee hearing, we have we're incorporating into the bill the outstate transportation for veterans as well as within the Metropolitan Council area.
Okay, any discussion on the House File 1309A3 amendment?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Holbrook.
Not discussion, but thank you for doing this. I think it's important.
Thank you.
For all the veterans in the state.
Any other discussion? All right. Representative Newton renews his motion that we adopt this amendment, the H1309A3 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. The amendment is adopted. Chair Leader, would you like to put forward, I'm sorry, Representative Dimmer?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, this is actually a question for Representative Leader, and I'm still catching up with how we do things here and what these things actually mean, but what got my attention, Representative Leader, I serve on the Tax Committee. I saw an income tax credit, motor fuels income tax credit, in the current law, and this is on the sheet that was handed out, $61 million, and then we're zeroing that out, and that's apparently what's going to the Greater Minnesota Transit and the other, in the Metropolitan Council, the way it looks to me. The motor fuels income tax credit, is that, could you tell me what that is, Representative Leader?
Chair Leader. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and Representative Dimmer, that's the credit that's in statute, but it's not implemented right now, and that was initiated and amendment put on the floor on the Chapter 152 bill, whereby low-income people could apply for a credit because of the gasoline price at that time was over $4, and now it's about $2.
Representative Dimmer.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Leader, I think along the lines of, I guess, Representative Holberg, has this gone to Tax Committee, Representative Leader? I mean, this is in code now. There's a tax credit, and I'm wondering, this might be a very interesting discussion. We just had a big discussion this morning in Tax Committee regarding progressive taxes and regressive taxes and who were increasing the tax burden to. This was, if I remember correctly, in that bill, this was going to, there was an income standard, if I'm not mistaken, and it was going to the lowest income earners. And so by taking this credit away, it's effectively a tax increase on those folks. Representative Leader, so I guess my question is I don't know if I remember seeing this in Tax Committee.
Chair Leader, Mr. Chair, and Representative Dimmer. Representative Linceski informed me that it was going to be repealed in the tax bill. That's where the repealing is. It's not in this committee.
Well, okay. Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Leader, I understand that, but you're defending it in this committee. I guess I don't know the mechanism here, but this is a tax issue. It's a tax credit, and I don't remember any discussion in our tax committee regarding taking away this tax credit for those who qualified for it. And I guess it got my attention when I saw this, and now I understand what it is, and it kind of clears up for me maybe the transit money too. But taking away a tax credit is, in fact, a tax increase on these folks. And it's a very regressive tax increase, I might add. And we've had a lot of discussion about that in our tax committee. So I guess we'll maybe have a chance to talk about this in tax committee then, if it's going to come up. But like I said, I didn't see it come up any place during our discussion so far this session. No.
Chair Leader. Mr. Chair, thank you. Mr. Chair and Representative Dimmer, I was informed. I don't know. All I know is that the tax committee has to do that function, and the money was transferred to this committee, or will be. That was my understanding.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Is there any further discussion to the bill? Representative Holberg.
Mr. Chair and Representative Leader, if you know, then will a passage of this bill require a change in the budget targets that were passed by Ways and Means?
Chair Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and Representative Holberg, my understanding, no, we meet the target with this. We needed this money to meet the target. We don't exceed the target or change it.
And, Mr. Chair, if I might, so then when we see the tax bill, will the tax bill have an appropriation to Met Council and MnDOT for Greater Minnesota Transit?
Chair Leader. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I believe that was part of this amendment. The paper, as I explained, the procedures are outlined in this amendment to try to make the transfer, and that's what you're asking. Maybe if I could have one of the staff explain that, Mr. Chair.
Colin, Beavers, or are you going to do it, Matt Burr?
Mr. Chair, Representative Holberg, I'm sorry, I missed an aspect of that question. Could you repeat?
Well, I'm trying to, we heard Chair Leader respond to Representative Demmer about the tax committee being the one that's going to enact the tax increase in order to pay for this additional spending. And so I'm just wondering how that works. If this Chair Leader is saying that he doesn't think we have to change the budget target amount for transportation, so I'm wondering if the tax bill will have, when they increase the tax and take that money and give it to transit, will that be part of the tax bill, or how is that all going to work?
Ms. Devers?
Mr. Chair and Representative Holbert, with the budget target question, the Ways and Means Committee, I believe, will have to adjust our budget target because the targets are based on the 10-11 biennium, and we changed the amount for fiscal year 2009. So overall, when you look at the 3 years, it's the spending decrease is still $8.4 million. But it's over a three-year period versus a two-year period. So I believe they will need to adjust our budget target for that. In terms of the your question on the tax bill, I believe the tax committee adopted an A1 amendment to House File 1782 that included this motor vehicle lease sales tax. The repeal of the motor vehicle lease sales tax. And so my understanding is that they are carrying the cost of that in their budget target.
And
Representative Holbert?
Mr. Chair, we're getting to an answer here. So where will the spending be with the over $130 million in tax cuts that are being taken away from the low-income filers and being spent on transit? Where is that spending reflected then, in whose target?
Ms. Zebus?
Mr. Chair and Representative Holbert, my understanding is that once the motor vehicle lease sales tax credit is repealed, then the changes would be the statutory appropriations that are reflected in the delete all amendment that was adopted today.
And so, Mr. Chair, Ms. Zebus, in addition to the budget target changes that will be necessary because of the shift of 09 expenditure into Greater Minnesota Transit for the Morrill bill, we will also see an increase in general fund spending to this committee's target to reflect the tax increase or the doing away of the credit in the tax bill.
Ms. Zebus?
Mr. Chair and Representative Holbert, I do not believe that that's being adjusted for that. I believe the costs to the general fund are being reflected in the tax committee's target versus the transportation committee's target.
And Mr. Chair, so then
Holbert?
In the tax bill, we should expect to see appropriations to Met Council for Metro Transit and MnDOT for Greater Minnesota Transit if we're not changing the targets relative to that
Ms.
tax change.
Ms. Ewers?
Mr. Chair and Representative Holbert, I do not believe in the tax bill that you'll see changes in the appropriations for Greater Minnesota Transit and Metro Transit.
So,
Ms. Holbert?
Mr. Chair and Ms. Zuer, then how can all this additional spending take place with the targets that were approved by Ways and Means for this particular committee to reflect that additional money that's being taken away from the taxpayers and given to transit?
Ms. Zuer?
Mr. Chair and Representative Holbert, my understanding was that the funding was dedicated for transportation, and I'm not sure how else to answer that.
Representative Demmer?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not sure I totally grasp this. I'm not the brightest bulb, but What if the tax bill doesn't pass? I guess maybe, Ms. Doerr, that'd be a question for you. If the tax bill doesn't pass, do we not get the appropriation and can't do this then? Is that how that works?
Mr. Chair and Representative Demmer, if the tax bill doesn't pass, the amount that is currently going towards coming in to transportation from the motor vehicle lease sales tax in the 2010-2011 biennium is zero. And the reason for that is that the tax credit is higher than the amount paid out to individuals is higher than the amount coming in from the motor vehicle lease sales tax. So there's a cost to the general fund in the 2010 and 2011 biennium. In the 2012 and 2013 biennium, there's $2 million. That what would happen is that the motor fuel tax credit would come out of the total revenue from the motor vehicle lease sales tax first, and then the remaining portion of that would be dedicated 50% to Metro Roads and 50% to Greater Minnesota Transit. And the total for the 2012-2013 biennium is $2 million for each of those, or approximately $2 million.
Any more discussion? If not, Chair Leader, would you like to...
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Beer.
This is an omnibus bill and a pretty important one. I'd like to request that we do a roll call on it, please.
Okay. A roll call has been requested.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to my motion to House File 1309 as amended. Do you recommend the passage sent to the Finance Division or Committee?
And the clerk will call the roll because the roll call has been requested.
Leader?
Aye.
Beard?
Nay.
Demmer?
No.
Hepke?
No.
Hausman?
Yes.
Holver?
No.
Hornstein?
Yes.
Portman?
Aye.
Magnus?
No.
Mason?
Yes.
Morgan?
Aye.
Morrow?
Aye.
Nelson?
Yes.
Newton?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Severson?
No.
Swales?
Yes.
Welty?
Yes.
Sorry. Champion?
Now you notice she forgot all about me. Aye. It's that champion vote that happens every time. There being 12 ayes and 7 nays, the bill passes. Oh, the motion passes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Thank you. Now, Chair Leader, we also have House File Number 994.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move House File 994. Be recommended passage sent to the Finance Division.
Okay, House File 994 is before us. Chair Leader, would you like to explain your bill?
Mr. Chair and members, House File 994.
Hold on, Chair Leader. Okay. Would you be so kind as to be quiet as you're going out the door, as we would like to continue with the hearing this afternoon? Chair Leader, pardon the interruption. Could you please proceed with the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and members, House File 994 was the bill that we heard the other day and temporarily laid on the table because of the fiscal note and some of the questions we had. And what it amounts to is it relieves the certain members of the trucking industry who haul hazardous waste from duplicating a permit fee. and it was basically redundant because the same permit fee and everything is required by the federal government, and they do have to fill that out. And that's pretty much what it was. And also, there was a concern about the revenue portion being a loss to the state. And there's a new fiscal note. I believe it's being handed out, Mr. Chair. So the portion the bill would basically be considered by the committee on the fiscal note.
Thank you, Chair Leader. Any discussion? Any questions of Chair Leader? Seeing no discussion, Chair Leader, would you be so kind as to renew your motion for this, for House File 994?
Renew my motion, House File 994, be recommended to pass and sent to the Finance Division.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. The motion prevails. Members, the last thing before we are adjourned, I would like you to just check your emails for any updates as far as meetings being scheduled. And if you have any questions, please feel free to call and ask. But please make sure that you stay on top of checking your emails. If nothing else, meeting is adjourned.